I'm ready to preach. Hope you're ready to sit there for about 3 hours. Some of you are like, I'm gone right now. Be thankful we're not in the days of Paul. Paul, remember that night Paul preached the whole night and the guy fell out the window? He died. Paul revived him and went back to preaching. No, I'm very thankful to be here this evening. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to talk to you about a very serious problem in our world today. Of course, every matter from God's Word is very serious. But this is a very serious problem in our world today. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Here's to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul writing to young Timothy, and he writes, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach what you've laid on my heart. May everyone's heart that's here today be opened and willing to receive the message that's here this evening. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this evening is Desires and Itching Ears. Desires and Itching Ears. It is the opinion of this pastor that this was Paul's final letter that he wrote, and he was executed sometime afterward. The Bible does not say exactly when Paul stood before Caesar. In fact, we don't know the exact details of what happened to him afterward. We do know that he wrote letters while he was in prison, those epistles that we have in the New Testament. We have the general epistles, we have the church epistles, and we have the pastoral epistles. This is one of the pastoral epistles. But the wording at the latter part of the end of 2 Timothy, Paul seemed like he was fixing to die. And he wrote it while he was in the confines of Roman prison. So, that is my belief in that. But in this final chapter of the pastoral epistle here, Paul is writing to actually encourage the young preacher Timothy. Though I'm not preaching to many preachers here today, I want us to also take some encouragement from this as well. Also, I want us to consider the large evidence of the proof of what Paul told Timothy, what would happen to people heeding sound doctrine. My first point this evening is Paul's charge to Timothy. Paul's charge to Timothy, and we see that in verses 1 and 2. In verse 1, Paul began by giving the young preacher a set of orders to follow. And he said this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The word charge in verse 1 means a legal affirmation. In other words, Paul was playing the part of a judge talking to the person who needed legal orders. Paul was trying to give the sense of urgency and importance behind the orders. Paul also emphasized the authority he had to give the set orders. He first said that he charged Timothy before God. Before God. Then he said, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul went on to clarify, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This was another way of saying that this judge, in other words, Jesus Christ, shall judge everybody, both alive and dead, when he returns. And he is the one who gave Paul this authority. And of course, who gave Jesus the authority? God. And so he says, I'm charging you before God and Jesus Christ. Who, and he explains how and what and who Jesus will judge when he returns. This would have been taken by Timothy to mean that the Lord himself, through Paul, was giving these orders. In verse 2, here are the commands, not suggestions, that Paul told Timothy. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The first in that set of commandments was preach the word. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you how many times as a preacher I've heard older preachers and seminary instructors say, fellas, preach the word. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And let me tell you, as a preacher of the word of God, that is my sole duty, is to preach the gospel. As your pastor, it is my duty to make sure that you are fed. That is my next responsibility. But even the young preacher here was told, preach the word. The Greek word for preach means to herald or proclaim something. What is Timothy to proclaim? The word. The word. What is the word? That would be the word of God. The word of God. That is just not the written word of God. That the Greek word also indicates the teachings of the written word of God here. In other words, you don't just preach what's simply on the pages of the scripture. You preach the teachings of those scriptures as well, Timothy. And then he said, be instant, in season, out of season. The words be instant gives the gravity of just how important preaching the word truly is. Any preacher or child of God should be able at a moment's notice to expound the word and teachings of the word. Every child of God should be able to do that. At any point in time, be able to talk about God's word at any moment in time and explain it. In season, out of season, meant that it didn't matter on what the time was in preaching the word. Dr. Charles Law wrote, this phrase meant that he was to stand by with the word of God, always ready to proclaim the gospel, whether conditions were opportune, that was the in season, or inopportune, the out of season. Whether the situation was favorable in season or unfavorable out of season. In other words, y'all, be ready to preach the word of God no matter what the time is. I never will forget as a young preacher, very, very young preacher, I got a call one Sunday morning. Some pastor had gotten sick and asked me to come fill in for him. And guess what? I didn't have a sermon ready. Why? Well, I mean, I was just beginning to preach. And my daddy said, son, I hope you learn a valuable lesson in the midst of all this. You always have a sermon ready. Because the Bible says for you to be ready in season and out of season. I learned the lesson that quickly that day, but then I learned what that truly meant later on down the line. That means as a child of God, and especially as a preacher, be ready at any moment in time to preach the word. That's what that means. The word reprove. The Greek word here means to admonish, convict, confute, or to call one to an accounting. Webster defined it as the following: to convince of a fault or to make it manifest. In other words, let people know what they are doing wrong based upon the Word of God. The Word of God has the ability, authority, and power to reach the innermost parts of a person, please turn to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and we'll get to see just how far the Word of God can reach the innermost parts of everybody in the world. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick, that means it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is very, very important that each and every one of you here that claims to be a member of El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church, you understand this evening that the Word of God is the most powerful weapon that you have. Prayer is pretty powerful, but the Word of God is more powerful. We are commanded by the Word of God to preach the gospel to this lost and dying world. Well, how in the world are they supposed to be saved? Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How in the world do they hear? It's through God's Word. We can't save anybody. Not one of us could. Not one of us has the ability. Only Jesus Christ can save. But He uses His Word. The Holy Spirit uses the Word to get to the depths of somebody. It's said in Hebrews 4:12, it's piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Listen, all kind of medical science and surgery, they can cut down to the depths of your bones, even past the bones, but they cannot get to the depths of your mind, the depths of your soul. But the Word of God can. The Holy Spirit uses that. In order to do such, in order for the Holy Spirit to do that, we must preach the Word, y'all. We must preach the Word. And then the word rebuke is given here. The word rebuke is the Greek word that means the assessing or evaluating of an action or a person's conduct. Another way to define this word is to express sharp, stern disapproval. In other words, letting people know how much God disapproves of the sin they commit. It's important that people understand that, yes, you may be disappointed in what they do, but God is disappointed in what they do. That's the rebuking part. The reproving comes before that, that shows why God's Word disapproves of what they're doing. And then He said, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The Greek word for exhort means to give comfort, instruction, or encouragement. The noun form of this word means comforter, like the Holy Spirit. Timothy was to encourage people also with the Word, and then with long suffering. What does that mean? That means patience. With all long suffering, that's patience and doctrine, which is truth. My next point this evening is Paul's caution to Timothy. Paul's caution to Timothy in verses 3 and 4. Here is the warning to Timothy that we very much see today in our world. In verse 3 it states, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And in verse 4 it declares, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In verse 3, Paul stated, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time indicated here meant in the future. Now, this was written sometime before 70 AD. This currently... 2018 is now the future from when Paul wrote this. Who are the word they in this verse? These are the ones to whom Timothy was to preach. This also means people to whom we are supposed to preach the gospel as well. The word endure means sustain or bear. The word sound means healthy, whole, or wholesome. We might even say good. The word doctrine means the truths of the word. In other words, Paul was saying that the time will definitely come, if it had not already come in his day, that the people that need to hear the word of God preached to them will definitely not want to listen, obey, and hold on to good, healthy, and correct teachings from God's word. Paul went on to say in verse 3, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. After their own lust indicates that people will find teachings that they want and what they think justifies their own desires, which usually indicates sensual desires or fleshly desires. Shall heap to themselves teachers indicates that these unwilling to follow God's true teachings will pile up people who will teach what they want to hear as a means to justify what they believe. Peter warned about such things in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's all turn there, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, begin reading in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of God, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall be bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter was saying, listen, somebody who comes and says they have a revelation from the Lord of how things ought to be, he said that's not the case. It's not a private interpretation. He says, and they're going to come in, they're going to tell you very false heresies. And if you're not careful, you'll believe them. But that's because Paul warned that people, the time is going to come when people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. They want to hear what they want to hear. And what they want to hear, they want it to justify how they feel. And to justify what they're doing and say, oh, it's okay what I'm doing. Y'all, that is very much evidence in our culture. Oh, my goodness. And then it gets worse from there. The Bible is not something you use at your own convenience, or to back up what you feel is right. The Bible should be used always and make you feel and what to do is right, not the other way around. I cannot tell you the countless many of people that call themselves theologians and call themselves preachers and people that call themselves Christians. They feel something. They think they ought to do something, and they feel in their inner depths of their person, and they go to the Scriptures and try to find something to back up what they believe and think is right, and that is not how you study God's Word, y'all. You let God's Word speak for itself. You let it convict you and determine how you feel and what you do, not the other way around. Having itching ears. You know, this is something that I really had to look into. I've heard this all my life, but, you know, I think itching ears, you know, just like some of you are doing right now, you're scratching your ear. Okay? Listen to this. Dr. Law wrote, these teachers cannot be good and godly teachers, for they satisfy a rebellious people. The phrase, having itching ears, follows and describes teachers revealing that these teachers are disobedient to the truth, and they will give the people whatever message they desire. The ears of these teachers will be itching to have emotional gain through complimentary comments and the praise of men rather than the praise of God. They will satisfy the people with false teachings and fables that fit their fleshly whims. And the people will scratch the itching ears of the teachers with fleshly praise and probably financial gain. What does that mean? Teachers having itching ears, let me just put it into you in some common language here. That's, you pat my back, you give me lots of praise, I'll say whatever you want me to say. You pay me enough, I'll say whatever you want me to say. Now, I don't normally do this, but I'll go ahead and call out some right-out heretics that are very famous for that. Those are your television evangelists. They're known very much for doing that. There's another big one whose name is Joel Osteen. Pastors in Houston. Oh, I know there's some people that love the guy. But listen, I was bored sometimes and wanted to laugh, I'd flip off the channel and there he was, and I'd get mad and turn it off. I don't know why. I guess it was a glutton for punishment. Those guys, they don't preach sound doctrine. They don't preach sound truth. They don't reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. They're heretics. But these people today, they're like the Jews from the time of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10 declares to us, which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. In the days of Isaiah, the people, they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear the truths of God's word. And so they said, don't tell us those kind of things. Tell us things that are nice to hear. Boy, isn't that in our culture today. There's so many people under the what we call the umbrella of Christianity that are not really Christians because they don't act Christ-like, but they claim it, and they've claimed to believe in God and to believe in His Word, but when it comes down to the teachings of God's Word, I mean from Genesis to Revelation and green everything in there, they don't do it. When you've got several so-called churches, but I don't believe that they are, they proclaim to practice the Word of God and preach the truth, but yet they say it's okay to be a homosexual, it's okay to marry such, it's okay to have abortions, it's okay to do this and that, when God's Word says plainly that it's wrong. But they're not preaching the sound doctrine. Those are the teachers having those itching ears. My last point this evening is Paul's commendation to Timothy. Paul's commendation to Timothy in verse 5. He said this, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul ended this first part with a little encouragement to Timothy. Timothy was encouraged to watch in all things. The word watch indicates alertness and sound judgment. That makes perfect sense. As a preacher, we need to watch. We need to be alert and have sound judgment in dealing with people. The word all things indicates dealing with people, whether they were church members or not. As your pastor, I have to deal with not only church members, but non-church members. And I have to practice, and I don't always succeed in it, alertness and sound judgment as I watch. In other words, Timothy needed to be on guard and use sound judgment for all people. Timothy was encouraged to endure afflictions. This sounds odd because, guess what? Afflictions are painful. He said, endure. Endure afflictions. Put up with it. It'll be all right. Sadly, all preachers and pastors have unpleasant, harmful, and unfortunate circumstances in the ministry. They come with the job. However, if we find encouragement from the Lord and other preachers who've gone through similar things, we can get through those hard times because of our service in the Lord. And oh my goodness, at the afflictions that Paul saw. He was hated about every town he went to by the Jews that were there. Left for dead a couple places. Ran out of city a couple more. He was imprisoned because of preaching the gospel. Yes, he had afflictions. So he was telling Timothy, endure them. It'll be all right. Then Timothy was encouraged to do the work of an evangelist. This was just simply telling Timothy to preach and live the gospel everywhere he went. And this is something we all need to do. Preach and live the gospel everywhere we go. Lastly, he was encouraged to make full proof of thy ministry. This conveys the idea that Timothy was to finish the task that the Lord had given him, and it was lifelong. Make full proof of thy ministry. It's a lifelong ministry. Child of God, your service is lifelong. It's not till you get to a certain age and you get to retire. No, not really that way. Serving the Lord is lifelong. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, which is our passage here this evening, the rest of it. Paul's life was near the end, but he was happy at things he had done for the Lord. And he said this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul was really trying to uplift Timothy, but also tell him, when those hard times come, brother, you just preach the word. When the people won't listen to you, preach the word. When people reject you because of your stance in the gospel, preach the word. When people don't like you, don't want even me around you because of your stand on God's word, preach the word. In conclusion, we see very well just how much evil and false doctrine is in the world today. And even in our own country, we see where so many people, they flock to the theology of humanism, which is pretty much this. Whatever you feel is right, then that's what's right. And so therefore they look for teachers, false teachers, who will preach to them what they want to hear to back up what they believe. It is rampant in our world today. But child of God, don't fall into that trap. First of all, don't fall in that trap of leaning toward that, following that, or listening to it. We see people trying to justify their fleshly desires by mocking God's word as a result. I'll give you a very common one. Homosexuality has become very rampant in our culture. It's been around for years, but it's becoming very popular because of it being publicized so much. And as a result, there are so-called people, so-called Christian people, that will say, it's okay to do that. No, it's not. Well, they say, well, what about the other sins God's Word says? They're wrong too. They say, well, it's like Christianity is trying to pick and choose. No. No, we're not. Yes, God is love, but He's a just and holy God who hates sin. And some people want to take those words out of God's Word by doing that. There was a king in the Old Testament that burned the Scriptures. Did y'all know that? Jeremiah the prophet wrote down a prophecy from the Lord concerning the people. And he went and told them, went and told the prince the word, and he said, let me take it from you and me go read in the ears of the king. The king heard it and burned it. Why did he burn it? Because if he burns it, it won't come to pass. Idiot. Those that try to take the words out of the Word of God, that doesn't change God's Word at all. Oh, it may appease your itching ears of the teachers and make sure, oh yeah, it sounds good to you, but guess what? You hadn't changed God's Word one bit. In fact, God warns us to not do such things. Oh, and by the way, the prophecy of the Lord did come to pass anyway with that wicked king. Sure did. But however, don't back away from the truth. Instead, keep preaching it. Yes, there are... I'm not going to water it down for you guys. In this world today, the majority of people do not want to hear the truths of God's Word. They only want to hear the positive things that make them feel good. But when you start getting to the nitty-gritty, they're like, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear it in the Old Testament. They didn't want to hear it in the New Testament. Times haven't changed. People don't want to hear it today either. But don't back away. Keep on presenting God's Word. Child of God, member of Elder Rated Ministry Baptist Church, if someone were to come up to you and ask you a question about the Bible today, it depends on what it is. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know every single thing there is to know about God's Word. I don't. And I know some preachers and pastors who've been preaching a whole lot longer than I have, and they don't know everything there is about God's Word either. But we need to be ready to moment's notice to give an account of God's Word. That's our responsibility as members of Elder Rated Ministry Baptist Church. And if you can't do it even a little bit, guess what? Take your Bibles home, don't leave them on the pew, and open it up this week and get into God's Word. Don't leave it in your cars. Don't leave it in your trucks. Don't leave it at the office. Open it up and read God's Word. Why? So that you can be using an effective witness for the Lord to present God's Word. Had someone call me this week and they were wanting to know something about the Bible, and I explained it to them. And that made me excited that they would do something like that, because that means they're having conversations at work. Listen, if you don't know something, be honest and say, I don't know, but let me get back to you on it. Because with God's Word, that's a very serious matter. Who knows? You might be able to win that lost person that you're around, that's just vile. Everything that comes out of their mouth is horrible. And because of your testimony, they're able to come to you and say, listen, something's gone wrong in my life, and you have a wonderful opportunity to present Christ to them. But be ready. Be ready. And if you don't want to, I pray the Lord would convict your heart to change so that you'd be a great witness for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Word. Lord, please forgive me for not studying enough or not reading it enough. Lord, please forgive me for neglecting it. And oftentimes, Lord. And Lord, please help me to desire it more. Please help me to be a better witness for you, that I might be able to always, at any moment in time, help us to stay away from those who would lead us astray. And the only reason we're going to do that, Lord, is by knowing your word. Bless this time of invitation. These things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand?